The Zone at the Little Rock Touchdown Club is brought to you by Epic Health. Epic Health is real medicine practiced by real doctors and can help you feel like yourself again. Epic Health, behind Chili's on Rodney Parham in Little Rock.
Derrick Henry, nothing up the middle. He comes to the near side. He turns on the jet. He's into the secondary. He's going to go. He's to the 30. Now left sideline. 20, 10, 5, 80 yards. Derrick Henry.
A.J. Derby's in at quarterback. They give it left side to Jonathan Williams. Williams tried to stretch it, cut back. Gets a 3-yard gain. That's going to be it. 6 seconds, 5 seconds, 4 seconds. This football game is over. Nick Saban and Brett Bielema will meet at midfield. There will be better days for the Razorbacks, but tonight it is all Alabama. For the second straight year, Bama beats Arkansas 52-0.
Like I'm home in a place I used to know long ago. Deja vu.
Could you be? Oh, man. Welcome into the Zone on this Monday. It's a beautiful day. Justin Akery joined by Phil Elson. We are here at the Little Rock Touchdown Club at the Embassy Suites. And yes, deja vu this weekend. Deja vu all over again, as Yogi Berra once said?
I guess so, yeah.
52-0 for Arkansas again, this time on the road at Alabama. An extremely disappointing loss in only one way to me. It shows you just how far apart you remain, even with a far better coach at the helm. It is, it's a sad state of affairs, but like Chuck said there, better days ahead. And hopefully there is no deja vu again. Hopefully Arkansas never gives up 50 in a game again, at least not one where they don't score. It'd be fine if you score 51 and give up 50, but, you know, otherwise not so good.
I don't know if you expect – I mean, who expected a win going into this week to begin with? But
no one.
Maybe you would like to have been competitive for a drive. I don't know. That's the thing. I mean, even going into some of the losses recently, you had some – some positive things to think about. Going into the South Carolina game, you thought maybe you were taking, many steps forward. But, going into this week, I guess.
Say many or mini?
Mini.
Okay.
Mini steps.
As in miniature. Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
But in this case, it just all comes tumbling down. But, I mean, the good thing is this has got to be the nadir. This has got to be where you're the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
Now you want to start, going into an off, I guess it's the perfect time for an off week, isn't it?
Yeah, I can see it both ways. I mean, I'd much rather be going into an off week with some things that you feel better about. I will say this, as a fan of this particular program, it will never be worse than this year. It may be, tough again in games to come. It may be tough again next year when you face an Alabama team that will, again, be very good. I don't think it'll ever be worse. Sully and I were talking at length yesterday about this, and the thing is, this is a – it's a dang near perfect team because not only is it your usual really good quarterback play, really good running game, really good defense, they're really outstanding on special teams now too. I mean, everybody knows they're well coached. I mean, there's just no weakness with this particular team. There is no area where you feel like you can gain some sort of advantage. It's just not a good matchup. And the bottom line for me is if you lose 42-10 or you lose 52-0, at the end of the day, it's a huge loss. It's not close. You're not competitive. And it doesn't matter, So you have to move on. The bottom line is what we have seen is Arkansas has been competitive against teams like A&M. You were semi-competitive for most of the game against Florida. So there's no reason to believe it's ever going to get worse this year. So, I mean, I won't be surprised at all if Arkansas is very much in the game in the fourth quarter against Ole Miss, against Auburn, against Mississippi State. Now, I don't expect them to necessarily make much of a showing against LSU, but even that's a team that has weaknesses. I mean, that's a team that Arkansas could feasibly go in and run the ball against, could score some points against, could keep that offense off the field. And, again, I think there's a lot of reasons to be positive. It's hard to feel like that coming out of that game, but there are some things that make me think, gee, it'll be more like it has been and not so much like it was this weekend and the week before. That, I guess the South Carolina game is, to me, far more worrisome than this particular game was.
Well, look what happens the next game for South Carolina. Right. I guess the thing about the Arkansas-Alabama game, it's the only game in the SEC that was that had no suspense whatsoever.
Yeah, you're right.
And I guess the only game that might have where the outcome was what would have been expected by the majority of people that are paying attention.
All that being said, it was a fantastically entertaining college football weekend.
It had the feel of almost like a bracket-busting game, day in the NCAA basketball tournament where, some of these games could have gone either way. That's the thing about the picks that you had chosen for us going into this last weekend, Justin. You had some really difficult games to see, for us to decide.
Yeah.
Well, and it was that way not just in the SEC but all across the country.
Considering the fact that you led our blind pig picks of the week this weekend with a 2-4 record.
I did the best.
Tells me everything I need to know. Yeah. The pigskin was 0-6.
I knew that I didn't do well, but I didn't realize that against the curve I got straight A's.
You were an A-plus student this weekend. Very impressive. A couple of numbers here, and we'll take some calls. And I know folks want to get into this and talk about some of the other games from around the weekend or around the country from over the weekend. There were some interesting outcomes, certainly, around the country. I mean, nothing to me was more shocking than what happened down at Clemson this weekend with Florida State. Not winning, that was not a surprise. They were actually the Vegas favored by 3 going into that game. The fact that they blew Clemson off the field in a game that was not competitive at all is quite remarkable to me, and also the fact that while they did have a defensive score and they did a lot of things to put Clemson in a tough situation, Jameis Winston played outstanding football, 400 yards plus passing on the road, primetime game. Freshmen are not supposed to do things like that, and he has officially become the new or the latest version of Johnny Manziel. And instead of, Manziel, the way he plays, Winston looks like he has an NFL kind of, skill set and size.
Well, he's big, that's for one, and he looks like he could take a hit if you can actually get to him. But what an arm. What an arm he has. And week after week, I mean, he's making throws that look like, some NFL quarterbacks right now have trouble making.
For Arkansas fans today, there are a couple things that you're thinking because, again, you're going to have an extra week to sort of it's like when you say a bad word as a kid and your mom makes you chew on the soap. That Coast or Zest or whatever she makes you buy. By the way, Zest was always the worst to me, mostly because we never had lava in the house, and I'm sure with the pumice in there, that would have been rough.
Well, you'll have very white teeth at the end of that.
Well, that and the fact that the taste sort of lingers for a while.
Yeah,
I think that's what the Cranberries were singing about in the song. But when you compare last year's 52-point shutout to this year's 52-point shutout, you look at some differences here. Arkansas last year managed 137 yards of offense, and it was the worst for Arkansas in 10 years, going back to the 2002 SEC championship game. This year, Arkansas almost doubles that total, 256 yards of offense, which sounds bad, but when you compare it to last year, there's a significant improvement, again, considering you did it on the road. Arkansas, which had led the SEC in passing offense the 3 seasons previous, held to 79 yards through the air by Alabama last year. This year, they throw for 91. Another improvement. Just trying to put a little lipstick on this pig. Last year, Brandon Allen, 10 of 18 for 60 yards. Mitchell was 1 of 7 for 19 yards. Arkansas did manage 165 yards rushing. The problem is they allowed 352 yards rushing. That's not a formula for success. But I will say, despite the identical scores, there were some distinct differences, especially on the offensive side of the ball for Arkansas. I don't feel any worse today than I did going into the game last Saturday as an Arkansas fan.
I have trouble just even, going with the pig thing because pigs are a lot prettier than what anybody would have witnessed on Saturday.
Mm. Fair point.
I see you're reaching, though. You've got to try.
I'm just trying to, for comparison's sake, it is a fair comparison. You're talking about playing the same team, basically.
Yeah.
Your team's different, certainly, and Arkansas did make some improvements in the way that they matched up. It wasn't closer on the score, but you heard the 80-yard touchdown. By the way, I like Eli Gold's voice. They have way too much Nat sound coming in on their broadcast, so whoever's mixing that game is doing a horrific job.
I know Eli does NASCAR, too, and I think NASCAR isn't quite that loud.
Yeah. 80-yard touchdown run, though, by an Alabama back late in the game to provide the difference. So, I mean, it was you could make an argument that without that it was a little closer game, but he can't do that because that's all part of it. So we'll talk about some of the other games from around the country. What game was the most surprising to you? What was the most like, oh, my gosh, I would have never imagined that was possible? Because for me, it would probably have been the LSU game. I never would have thought Ole Miss could have put up enough of a fight. This is as far as the SEC goes. Most shocking game nationally, of course, was the Clemson game. But as far as in the SEC itself, I mean, the most surprising game to me was the fact that LSU lays an egg against Ole Miss. I was really quite surprised. And that's somewhat of a rivalry game.
And that one also surprised me a lot. I guess I thought Florida would have had a better defensive showing. You know, maybe not even based just upon reputation, but what you've seen recently. You know, and I don't know the quarterback's name at Mizzou, but I know he's a freshman.
Matty Mock, yeah.
And goodness gracious, I mean, has a tremendous game. Mizzou looks like they're the real deal, and that's the most shocking thing I think that anybody would have thought at the start of this football season, that Mizzou would have. Is it? It's a pretty comfortable looking lead in the SEC East.
This weekend, they can virtually secure the SEC East this weekend with a win. I mean, if they beat South Carolina this weekend, it's possible they could still lose the East. It just doesn't look at all likely. Kentucky's left. They do have a couple of difficult games left, but it would be surprising to me if they didn't win the East if they win this week. And I don't think, as long as they don't have any more significant injuries, Mock clearly up to the task. Again, it's on a home field, but they have enough home games left where you think they're going to have a pretty good chance to win the East if they win this week. It's a huge game, and, of course, it looks like South Carolina will be without the services of Connor Shaw. And while the backup, Dylan Thompson, has had quite a bit of experience, he ain't Connor Shaw or he would have been starting. They do have a great running back. They've got a lot of pieces, but that was from what I saw this weekend, if they had somehow managed to pull out that game at the end, you maybe feel a little bit better. But for South Carolina, they got to be licking their wounds a little bit, losing on the road to Tennessee. And losing your starting quarterback.
I heard you say it earlier. I mean, you're right about the SEC this year. It's one great team, one really, really outstanding team, and a bunch of good to, better than above average teams right now. There's no other teams that you could say is a lock for a BCS Bowl.
A couple things about Missouri, though. Missouri is still confounding to me a little bit. You played a depleted Georgia team. You play a very one-dimensional Florida team. But guess what? There are plenty of teams who weren't able to get over the hump against that one-dimensional Florida team, including Arkansas. So, again, I hate to chastise folks, but for those of you who laughed off the ability of Missouri to compete in the SEC in football, how do you like me now? And I'm not a Missouri guy. In fact, I grew up rooting against Missouri, but anybody who didn't think that they could be competitive is silly. Now, nobody expected this. Nobody expected them to be number 5 in the first BCS poll. I'm not in any way saying, you're a clown that you didn't anticipate this. But to think they couldn't come in and be competitive, I don't think you know your history very well. And it was like, well, they did blow out Arkansas in that combo. Oh, yeah, that's because Reggie Herring was the coach. Well, maybe they have a pretty good program. Now, they didn't have a very good year last year, admittedly, but the quarterback comes back healthy. The good news for them is, even more important, as we're seeing around the country, you better have a darn good backup. Saw a similar situation with UCA. They go on the road with a backup quarterback, a guy who has not started a game in his career, and he plays well enough for them to win. And that's what you got to get from those guys. And Mock played well enough to win for most teams in most weeks.
Perhaps there was an advantage for Mizzou and A&M where they already have established recruiting bases in Big 12 territory. And Mizzou had really, done very well in that case in the last few years. And then you're able to expand that into the SEC because you're now in that conference. That has to help out programs that already had been bringing, better talent in, I think, for Mizzou than, historically. That's got to help them out.
Some crazy games this weekend. And you don't have to go outside the SEC for the most part. But, I mean, it was just it was wild. Auburn gets another victory. And that was not shocking but surprising, certainly. A&M got screwed by a bad call. And you're not supposed to miss that call on a team's home turf, but they did. A horse collar that was missed that could have been a significant impact in the end of the game. But the bottom line is Auburn scored 21 in the fourth quarter. Horse collar aside, that's a pretty good performance down the stretch. LSU loses at Ole Miss 27-24. Just a crazy weekend.
I mean, Louisville. I mean, you start the weekend.
Yeah, Louisville's on
over. Friday with a Louisville loss.
Yep, they're done.
There goes the great championship hope out of the AAC.
Yeah, they don't have to make the argument that we belong when they're undefeated at the end of the season. Now they don't have to bother with that argument. So that's good. Hey, by the way, that's not a great conference probably, but it's going to be a fun competitive conference. Well, I think there are three or four teams now. They're 5-1 mm-hmm. in that league, so it'll be interesting to see how that one ends up. What do we got there? 5-1, 5-1, a 6-1 Louisville team that lost this weekend. Cincinnati's 5-2, and you got three teams: South Florida, UCF, and Houston that are undefeated at the top. Houston faring well this year, so impressive. We'll take some calls, and we are going to go over a couple other things. Game balls and jockstraps, and I've got a few to give out. Some I will enjoy giving out more than others, but it is going to be an honesty Monday following a shake-up Saturday.
Honesty Monday.
Kerry's in Conway. Hey, buddy.
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm better than a lot of folks are doing probably today.
Oh, I can imagine so. All right. You got to give me a couple of minutes here because we're fixing to go to church. I've got to say, after Saturday, we have got to have one of the worst fan bases in the history of college football. I'm sorry. And I understand Facebook is one of the worst things that's happened to society because everybody has their opinion and everybody thinks it matters. But seriously, people, it's 8 games into the season on the first season. You've got people calling in and people posting on Facebook calling for Bielema's head and screaming about how they can't believe this is what's going on. What do you expect? We went from a spread the field, throw the ball all over the place style offense to a pro-style run it, smash mouth offense. We've changed the system completely, all right? You seriously expect us to come in here and just start competing with Alabama and everybody else? Add that to the fact that we've played murderer's row as far as a schedule, and I understand A&M got beat. I understand South Carolina got beat. Does that make them any less tough whenever we played them? Or does that mean that they got jumped and it was an upset? You sit here and scream and cry and, oh, we can't believe this is happening. It's not any better than this than last year. It's not any better than last year. And Justin, I'm very glad that you crushed the numbers and that you showed everybody that it is better than last year. Just because it was the same score doesn't mean it was the same game. Look at the positives on this. Look at that. We ran the ball on them. We put up offensive numbers. How many penalties did we have? We got better on that aspect. We had one dumb running into the kicker penalty. But we didn't have all the offsides penalties. We didn't have the personal foul penalties. We're playing smarter football. You can't expect us to come in here the first year, Bielema's first year, whenever he's trying to install a new offense, install a new defense, and come in and run with Alabama and run with A&M and run with LSU and all of that. We're going to get murdered this year. I'm sorry, but it's going to happen. Yeah, next year, we should be better. The next year after that, we'll consistently get better. Be patient, people. Have some kind of patience whenever you're dealing with this kind of stuff. You're not walking in and flipping a switch and just overnight we're going to be in a bowl game.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I will say this. I know this is my last one. I know you got other callers to get to, but I'm sorry. My only real complaint with Bielema right now is that Brandon Allen is not the quarterback we need. I'm sorry. He's not been right after he got hurt.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. I don't know if he needs to get set on the sidelines and just clear his head or what, but he's not the quarterback we need in there right now. And I understand he's showing loyalty to his quarterback, but come on, at some point we gotta say, hey, when is enough enough? I mean, it gets kind of ludicrous at a point. That's my only real complaint with the game Saturday.
Yeah, okay. Kerry, appreciate the call. That was one area Arkansas, from a percentage standpoint, didn't get really, at least Brandon Allen didn't. Now, when you factor in Mitchell's numbers, they were similar, I guess, to last year. But 7-25 with 2 picks is that's not good. I mean, that's unacceptable. I mean, that's something that I don't care who your quarterback is, and I don't care if you are playing Alabama, you got to be better than 7-25. You have to. And I'm not putting that all on Allen. A lot of that has to do with me, with the preparation through the week. I just don't see other programs, even with backup quarterbacks. Look around the league. Murphy hasn't played that poorly. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been that bad. He's a backup quarterback. Mock this weekend, I think everybody knows what happened there. To me, your backup quarterback clearly wasn't ready when he was in there. I'm not sure they're getting the starting quarterback very ready either. And I think he's working with some limitations. But this is the worst he's ever looked. And they're, you know, again, some of that's got to go on the coaching staff.
And what do you get if you take the red shirt off of Austin Allen? I mean, it's too late by now, but I mean, even if you did it 4 or 5 weeks ago, I mean, what's it worth? Is it really worth? Is it going to get you a win? Is it going to get you 2 wins, 3 wins? Doubtful.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's going to make that much difference.
It's one part of a team right now that has a lot of problems, and you know, fixing one of them is not necessarily going to fix all of them.
The quarterback play is disappointing, though.
Yes,
the quarterback play, and I know there are limitations at receiver, but he just doesn't look prepared, you know. And again, it's hard to compare it to other programs. But when you see other guys that are getting their backups that are ready to go and they can run the full complement of offensive plays, apparently, and the offensive drop, there hasn't been much drop-off. I mean, Florida probably has improved with their backup quarterback, as bad as they've been offensively. Brad.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Man, I think it's Brandon Allen. It's just between his ears. I think he's a little timid after that getting rocked around in Florida. They even mentioned it on the broadcast that he's not planting his feet. He's dancing back there. I think he's just scared. I think he's going to have to. I think John L. Smith and them did him a serious injustice by not letting him see a little bit more action last year, especially after the ship had sunk. But no, what I was calling about is the guy was talking about Facebook, and I've heard several people and been involved in several arguments over Gus Malzahn and what he was able to do at Auburn his first year. But if you look at that, not really technically, because I know he's a first-year head coach, but it's like his third year at Auburn if you look at it. He was involved in the offense. He was involved in recruiting for his system.
Yeah.
Under, I won't even mention that guy's name because I can't stand him. But, you know, you look at their recruiting class when Gus was there, and it was, what, top 10 a couple years, and then like 17th for, I think it was this year or last year. So, I mean, what Gus's situation at Auburn is completely different than what Bielema walked into.
It is.
Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss, this is, what, his second year in the conference?
Right.
Pinkel's second year in the conference. And, I mean, all those teams kind of struggled last year. I don't know. I don't remember what Ole Miss did. But, you know, everybody talks about, well, man, we probably should have hired Gus. We should have hired Gus. I think we got the right coach. And the South Carolina game was the only game I left out of feeling frustrated. I thought we could have done better. But against Alabama, I held no expectations in that game. Because once you start rolling downhill with Alabama, it's hard to stop. And Ole Miss only gave up 25, but I don't believe they scored either. So I don't think it's all gloom and doom. I think if you look at what we've got coming in, hey, I like what we've got coming in. I like our coaching staff. I just think we need to work with the quarterbacks a little bit more, and I do put that on the coaches.
Yeah, Brad, appreciate the call. As far as Ole Miss last year, 7-6, including a bowl win. So they were certainly poised to be improved this year, and I imagine there are probably some Ole Miss fans that are a little disappointed with the way things have gone this year so far, but probably feeling a lot better after this weekend. And, yeah, I mean, Auburn is much better than I expected, I will say that. I'm not shocked because I knew you knew Tennessee had some talent. I'm not shocked that Butch Jones has had some limited success. So nothing that they have done has really blown me away or shocked me. This weekend was a surprising victory, no argument there. I mean, that was an impressive win against the South Carolina team that I think most of us thought, Phil, after watching what they did to Arkansas and seeing how they played, expected them to roll to an Eastern Division title. I mean, that was a very surprising outcome for me, even with their quarterback going down, with Shaw going down. And I mean, they were in trouble before that. So that to me was a little surprising. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be a huge, when you have a huge difference. And again, it's like Petrino's first year. Petrino was it was doing a completely different thing with personnel from a different approach and a different philosophy. Most of the guys on that campus for Auburn were recruited in part by Gus, you know, and for what they were trying to do.
For what they were going to be doing. Football is such a system game.
I mean, it is. But I'm still amazed by how good they have been in the early going. I'm shocked by how good. Auburn, to me, has been the most surprising surprise of the year. I am shocked at how good they have been. Now, you got to look at what they've got left. They're going to lose to Alabama, right? So they've got that left.
You think? I mean, you know.
I do. I'm sure of it. I don't know what else they got left. Georgia. That certainly looks like a very winnable game. At Arkansas, at Tennessee, those look like winnable games. Florida Atlantic, that's a guaranteed win, basically. So, hey, they're well on their way, and they've got a chance to have a really special kind of season, which would be about as impressive as anything. Now, you know, looking at their team this year, they had 8 guys back on defense, and for all Chizik's faults or his inability to get it done without Gus, they did have some decent defensive athletes, and they had 8 of them back. You know, they had 7 offensive starters back. The quarterback play has been impressive. But, again, if there's one thing Gus Malzahn's great at, it's getting quarterbacks ready to play.
You know, your last caller sort of lit a little bit of – and I heard it a little bit over the weekend. You know, some people thinking, why didn't we get Gus? And I'm not saying that they should have not really trying to start that debate. But it has – I think it already started over the weekend.
Well, look, if you look at him on paper before the season started, you can't tell me that Bielema isn't as good a hire or a better hire than Malzahn was.
Or at least, it's a hire that makes sense. You cannot judge any coach at any level in any sport on that first season. You never can.
I think we had other people that said that they thought Gus might have more immediate success. But, you know, the question I have is, long-term, can this offense have success? You know, can you get it? And we've been talking about it. You know, all along, it's so funny how we flipped the script so quickly, but all along it was, You got to do something unique. You have to be Petrino-like. You have to do something out of the ordinary. You're not going to be able to out-recruit Alabama and LSU, and you're not going to be able to out-smash mouth those teams because they're always going to have as good or better athletes. And then all of a sudden they hired Bielema, and we were so excited because this is a guy that's been successful, been to BCS games, won conference championships. And you think, well, okay, in his case, we'll make an exception. Yeah, that guy can actually do it, though. And you know what? They did have a very good first recruiting class, especially considering they did not have, you know, the full year to work on it. So, you know, that there's that, I guess. But you know, you get back to this was going to be a long road, and it was going to be a difficult year. And there's only, look, if we're all honest with ourselves, there's only one game we expected Arkansas going into the season to win. Most of us expected them to win. Most of us also knew that it was not a guaranteed win in Rutgers.
And I remember also looking at the schedule and pointing out a couple here and there. They think, well, you know, maybe South Carolina, maybe Auburn, maybe Ole Miss.
Yeah, and I still say maybe Auburn. I still say maybe Ole Miss.
Still?
When, yeah, absolutely. Maybe Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. Maybe none of them.
Yeah.
Maybe none of them. But Arkansas has not been blown off the field until this weekend. Well, I guess except for the last weekend. Other than those two.
And the second half of the week.
But there were games that I didn't expect them to be. I didn't expect them to be really competitive in the A&M game, and they were. I mean, so the South Carolina game is the one. Again, that's the one that's most bothersome to me. This last weekend, I kind of got, for the most part, what I expected. I still think there's reason to believe they could be competitive in those games down the stretch, except for LSU. And maybe even LSU.
LSU.
By the way, LSU is can be had. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. Three quick things. First off, I think the parity in the SEC is going to just push LSU's Les Miles to be the next coach at Texas. I think Mack Brown, if he's gone, LSU, Miles is the next coach at Texas. I think that's, you know, I think that's going to be pretty solid there. Second thing is, how about Spurrier, the brainchild and the genius of Spurrier, wasting two timeouts in the last 3 minutes of the game just to try to jokingly see if he could go for it on 4th and 4. From his 20, and it comes back and bites him in the tail. And then finally, how about that Indianapolis kicker last night laying out Holiday on that kickoff? That was the biggest hit. That ought to be shown on SportsCenter as many times as Clowney has hit that Michigan guy, because there has never been a kicker that's laid out a back like that. So I just want to get your take on those couple of things.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Steve. Everything you said, yeah, I mean, agreed. I thought South Carolina did a pretty poor job this week, and that was surprising. Maybe they overlooked. I mean, you come off a win on the road of 52-7 in the SEC, even against a lesser-than-Arkansas team. All I can think is they were looking ahead. I don't know. I mean, I was shocked at that outcome, so clearly, or maybe, it's a possibility they just didn't consider that a real possibility. As far as the kicker, I don't know how you don't flag that. That was a clear helmet-to-helmet hit.
Well, nobody would ever think that a punter is going to be delivering helmet-to-helmet hits.
Yeah, I don't know how that wasn't a helmet-to-helmet hit, though. The kicker, yeah.
Whenever I'm thinking of kickers that make tackles, I'm always thinking of Darren Bennett. Remember, he was the guy with the Chargers who played Australian rules football? And I remember him going after guys. I mean, he'd go out elbows up. Always exciting.
I think they missed the call there. I do have an issue with another play that's legal in the NFL right now that I'm not sure should be. And as we make an effort towards player safety, I'm not sure that one other area is not suffering because of it from a safety standpoint. Shane, Charlie, Robert, hang on. We'll get to you guys as soon as we can right out of the break. It's 10:34. We're at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. Justin Ankry, Phil Ellison, Matty T back in the Fury Electric studio. Jonathan Lugs will join us later, the Remington Award winner, former center for Arkansas. Get his thoughts on this current team and maybe advice to players and certainly some advice to fans, of which he is one now. So we'll be back in just a moment.